Our reading today is about a fierce debate that happened among early followers of Jesus. They were all Jews who valued the teachings of Moses. As the good news spread to non-Jews, Gentiles, there was debate about whether Gentiles needed to undergo the ritual of circumcision that had been taught by Moses, through Moses. A reading from Acts chapter 15. Certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem and discuss this question with the apostles and elders. So they were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised and ordered to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus, just as they will." God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Beloved of God, grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. This summer, as Good Shepherd has been traveling with the Spirit, worship has featured pilgrimage psalms, psalms prayed while traveling to holy places. Last week during the youth trip, our Decora group got to take our own pilgrimage to the George Floyd Global Memorial. The community around the memorial has organized to offer what they call pilgrimage tours to help guests enter that sacred space. What we saw and learned at that memorial changed us. Like those apostles in Acts whose eyes were opened to God's presence among the Gentiles, our eyes were open to God's presence in the community around the George Floyd Global Memorial. I'm excited to tell you more about it today, and some youth are as well. Yet our pilgrimage to the memorial opened my eyes in other ways. It also helped me recognize that so much of what we did on the trip and so much of all of our lives is about pilgrimage, about learning to recognize what is holy all around us as we travel through this life. First, I want to tell you about the memorial. It has truly become a holy place. Hearts are broken open. There is space to grieve. Black bodies are honored. Resilience, justice, and community are celebrated and nurtured. Our pilgrimage tour guides were Marquise, Giorgio, and Kendrick. as we took in the art, the flowers, and the Say Their Names cemetery that has the ages of those killed by police. Our guides shared about their painful experiences with the Minneapolis police, about loved ones lost to gun violence. They introduced us to a man who'd been wrongfully imprisoned for 18 years. The guides shared honestly about the challenges while still remaining hopeful. After each painful story, Kendrick would say, "Where there's people, there's power." They hoped we would use our power to join in the work of racial justice. We also met Jay, a man who runs a plant hospital at the site. He takes in dying houseplants, which I could bring him many. looked like my house. He takes them in and he restores them, and then he finds new homes for them at the memorial. He came over to our group and he started preaching the gospel. He said, "I want to tell you, there are two words that are key to world peace. Two words. You matter. You matter." Imagine, he asked, if Derek Chauvin had looked at George Floyd and remembered and recognized, "You matter." What would happen if we all approached ourselves and one another with that awareness? You matter. You matter, not because of what you do or think or achieve, not because of your appearance, jobs, degrees, or number of followers. You matter, period. It sounds so simple, yet we continually need our eyes opened to this truth about ourselves, this truth about others. Each person is God's beloved. Each person can help us know more of God. Our lives are a journey, a pilgrimage of learning to recognize that holy within ourselves, others, and all of creation. In that sense, our whole youth trip was a pilgrimage as we served, played, danced with headphones on a silent disco. It was crazy and fun. As we did all of that, as we sang and laughed, ate, napped, and toured together, we got the chance to experience God in other people and in God's beautiful world. It's so easy to overlook God's presence in others. We judge, we stand at a distance, we fear. Yet the good news is that God is committed to opening our eyes again and again. God has made a pilgrimage to us, traveling to be with us in Christ Jesus, coming among us to honor the holy, sacred earth and each life here. God in Christ is now present everywhere in all people, and God is at work to help us know that each person and all things matter, to let that truth shape how we live and play, love and serve. You matter. You are God's beloved. Let that truth sink in and change you today. And now we get to hear from our youth about how they were impacted by the trip. So come on up.
During the youth trip, I got the opportunity to play in a band with some other members of the Decorah Lutheran Church community. So I saw God whenever I was up on stage jamming away on the keyboard with guitarists and vocalists, just singing good songs.
I I promise this wasn't planned, but I'm also talking about the George Floyd Memorial. I was very thankful that we got to see the George Floyd Memorial in person. It gives you a whole new perspective on the inequality in our country.
I've never worshiped with such a large group of peers, and I found it very impactful to have those experiences with them.
I especially saw God during our public service day when we packaged food for malnourished children around the world. By working together, we packaged more than 500 meals together.
I saw God in how together the community members and the George Floyd Memorial were.
I want to do a shout out to Kelly, who really made it possible for us to go to the George Floyd Memorial. It wasn't on the schedule, and she made it possible. And she also said at the end of our packing trip, I'm going to need some fruit snacks for these people who don't know they're going to the memorial during dinner time. And she made it happen. So thank you to Kelly.